Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, Frank's wife is apparently not well, and it's apparently been something long going and something pretty serious. So he basically sent me a copy of kind of a sketch of what his paper would have been, so it'll be shorter than our 25 minutes. But we'll start out first by reading on page 24 the synopsis, the abstract, and then I'll give you about a three-page presentation on that. Geometric basis for divine action in the world. How is it physically possible for one whom we cannot detect with our senses, or even with any instruments which extend our senses, to make real physical changes in the actual physical world? If God is a spirit, how can he possibly affect the physical world? The physical world, as we know it, is three-dimensional. He's leaving out here the idea of time as a separate dimension. Physical objects have length, width, and height. But if a God exists in more than three dimensions, he would be quite real but invisible to us. The simplest way to look at this would be to think of God existing in four physical dimensions, who created a universe of three dimensions. We cannot, apart from mathematical abstraction, think in four dimensions. Some mathematicians claim to be able to. But we can, however, consider a hypothetical two-dimensional world and compare it with the real three-dimensional world in which we live. A three-dimensional individual could stand beside the two-dimensional world, be invisible to the two-dimensional creatures, and yet be in a position to influence individuals and events taking place in that two-dimensional world. In an analogous fashion, God in four dimensions could be quite real, and without being seen, could influence life and events in the present three-dimensional world. Okay, sketch of the paper. Many years ago, the Russian cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin, I guess it was, looking out from his spacecraft window, exclaimed to the great pleasure of the Soviets that he had looked out of the window of his spacecraft and could see no God. As a Christian, I deplore such crass pseudoscientism. But he was only expressing what many have already wondered. Where in a physical universe of atoms, molecules, electromagnetic fields, gravitation, even dark matter, could there possibly be room for God? We in our visible universe exist in three spatial dimensions. It's commonly assumed that all of reality exists in those same three dimensions. If anything is supposed to be real, it must exist in three dimensions. There is no other reality. Among religious scientists, there's a feeling that there must be some nebulous spiritual realm out there somewhere. This is often limited to the abstract, quote, the reality of love, unquote, or something like that. But among cosmologists today, there's talk of the possibility of the reality of more than three dimensions. In order to explain the nature of the universe, they speak of many more dimensions than the familiar three. As a way of looking at this, let us suppose that reality, including God, exists in four spatial dimensions. This seems quite impossible to think about, since our minds are only three-dimensional. I do not mean to limit God to four dimensions, but only to speculate a bit about the possible relationship of God to his physical creation. Since we cannot visualize a universe in four spatial dimensions, let us consider an illustration in three dimensions. Let us, for the sake of illustration, reduce the number of spatial dimensions to two, with the third dimension relating to the nature of God. So let us imagine what a two-dimensional universe would be like. To those who, hypothetically, live in a two-dimensional universe, all reality is flat. Everything has length and width, but no thickness. Planets would be circles rather than spheres. For one person to get past another, it would be necessary to go over or under the other person, as passing in front would take the person out of the two-dimensional universe. The real three-dimensional you would be compared to those in the two-dimensional universe, a bit like God would be to us in our real three-dimensional world. You, as a three-dimensional individual, could at will move in or out of the two-dimensional world. Imagine the surface here is the two-dimensional world. You put your finger down on it, and you enter and enter that world, and you pull your finger up, and you depart from that world. That sort of idea. To the two-dimensional individual, you would suddenly appear as though out of nothing. A touch on the miraculous side, to say the least. You would also be capable of moving alongside of the two-dimensional person without being seen or even noticed. You would not be far from him, Acts 17:28. You as a three-dimensional individual could influence the affairs of the two-dimensional world and act in it without being seen by those existing in that two-dimensional universe. I do not at all mean to limit God to existence in four physical dimensions, but only to try to see a geometric way in which God can be real and at the same time be infinitely greater than any three-dimensional human being, and to be the one in whom we live and move and have our very being. That's Frank Roberts' sketch. I might mention some bibliographic background to think about. Back in about 1880, 125 years ago, Edwin A. Abbott, a Christian, I believe, mathematician, wrote a work called Flatland, which the last I heard was still in print. So there you can find this sort of thing sketched out in more detail, imaginatively, a novel of some sort. A secular presentation of this sort of thing is a book by Rudy Rucker, I think entitled The Fourth Dimension. I just cranked these out of my head here, so I'm not sure I got the right title for that particular work. And then Hugh Ross has recently written a work called Beyond the Cosmos, where he looks at a little bit of these sorts of things as well. Back in the 70s, I almost wrote a book called The Bible and the Fourth Dimension, got stuck on one problem, and I figured out I had the wrong solution and couldn't figure out what the right solution was, so I bailed out of it and afflicted. Actually, I did afflict a publisher or two of it with it, I think, but they didn't bite. So there we are. I'm not sure I can answer any questions for you, but a sketch there on a way of understanding how an invisible God might be invisible in a way that that mathematicians have been thinking about for a century or two, and that physicists, particularly working with string theory and some of those things now, have been thinking about more recently in terms of 11 dimensions and things of that sort.
I'm curious about what problems the ones that you got stuck
on. I thought for a while that the idea of bending a space in the general relativity suggested that there is another dimension, another spatial dimension beyond our three. But after thinking about it a little while, it occurred to me that what you're really doing is you're trading some of your spatial dimension in with a time dimension, and so it really does not require another spatial dimension to make general relativity work on that level. So I didn't, this was before any of the 10-dimensional stuff came up, so I bailed out at that particular point. Yes, sir?
So many people in here that have thought about dimensions before. We talk about we live in a four-dimensional existence, but in reality, we live in a 3.5 dimension because we're locked in a forward movement,
you know. Yeah, and it's an imaginary dimension, at least the way Minkowski and other guys do it. So a 3 plus I dimensional or something of that sort, existence, if you want to go that direction.
Right, but is there a space for God to actually live in that 3 plus I 2? He's actually able to go forward and backward.
Interestingly, exegetically, I think there's no warrant for God going backward in time. So if you work through the biblical material, there's no warrant for that. There's some idea that his scaling of time may be different than ours. When we were in George Murphy's discussion up here right before lunch, there never did come up the discussion of whether time is something created or whether time is also an attribute of God in some sense, and therefore kind of a lot like logic is somehow an attribute of God, if you like. That has been argued in theological and philosophical circles, and so that should perhaps be discussed. How are we doing it? We're not going to time. Okay, I'm going to give Roman the first shot. I'll try, but usually by the time person's got the end of a long question, I've forgotten the front half of it. Roman. And whether God experiences succession in his own existence. Boswell, I think it was, suggests that, this is a systematic theology, G. L. Boswell, Jr., for systematic theology, suggests that God experiences before there's any beings but himself, and an after when there are beings other than himself. God experiences a before he has ever become incarnated in the human race, and an after he has become incarnated in the human race. God will experience a time before which there was ever any opposition to him, a time during which there is opposition to him, and a, we'll call it time, in which there is no longer any free opposition to him. That is, the opposition to him is bottled up in some way. We won't climb out on a limb on the details of that. Okay, in the middle here, an integrity.
It seems like there's a prior question we wanted to have here. Are we justified in thinking or asking, is the spiritual realm a scaled up version of the physical?
Yeah, and that's a fair question. That's a fair question.
So we've been trying to understand God's time in terms of our time.
Mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm.
a fair question.
Yeah. Question is it a fair question to try and think of God in terms of another physical space, another physical dimension, that sort of thing? I think Frank's answer to it, I know my answer to it at least would be, I don't know, but we're trying to make an analogy. We're making models, okay? And when you make models, you don't know whether they're right. You don't even know what all the problems are, okay? You try them out and see, and let people shoot at them and respond, et cetera. So, it can be reductionist, you're aware of that as well, but you're trying not to do that. Terry?
I think along those same lines, the dimensionality, like time, can be considered a created
mm-hmm.
entity that God can enter into,
mm-hmm.
And he does that, and I think that explains some of your
mm-hmm.
Successions in God. That's viewed from the perspective of him having entered into time and space,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there's also a sense in which he transcends both of those things,
mm-hmm.
and it's not a necessary component of who he is.
Right, right. No, I didn't have a problem with that. Yes, sir.
Wouldn't the three-dimensional object be seen as a projection in two dimensions rather than being invisible?
It depends on whether they're in the two-dimensional space or not. If you imagine the two-dimensional space is the surface of this, then if it's up here, it won't be seen at all, unless you've got some light casting a shadow into it, which you have no particular reason to do that. But when you contact it, now it's going to be seen as a projection of it. And Abbott works that out in detail with a sphere visiting this flat land and that sort of thing. Oh, how are we doing?
I thought it was really interesting, the two-dimensional analogy, or Frank's two-dimensional analogy with... we're here, flat, and God could be up here, only limited
mm-hmm.
by time. Richard Bube, at one point, he wrote about God being on interface with everything
mm-hmm.
in the universe simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a real... this is kind of interesting in terms of, again, the pastoral, how we can feel about God being with us constantly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's...
Maybe an angel could be a thumb. God is.
Yeah, yeah. The whole question of the infinity of God and or omnipresence of God makes it complicates that kind of an evaluation of it. Certainly, that's fair to say.
Well, I think all of these puzzlements are just representation of the fact that we have to struggle to even get outside of four dimensions. And the only way you can, even slightly, is if you have some mathematical background.
Mm-hmm. That helps.
But the dimensionality of eternity has to be greater than our three dimensions of space and one of time. Who knows how many more dimensions? If the universe itself that God created has an 11 dimensionality to it, eternity possibly is even more than that.
Yeah, and
crazy conjecture.
No, but Frank says that. He says, I'm not trying to limit God to four dimensions. I'm just trying to investigate some features that arise by doing this that wouldn't arise if you didn't do this. That's I think what he's really doing there.
Why don't we end that here? We're about 10 minutes ahead. Now, what I'm going to suggest is we move on with Dr. Wilcox's paper and then Bob's own paper, and that'll give us about 10 minutes at the end, and then you could ask some of the questions that you weren't able to ask previously at previous authors to the previous presenters.